But in some contexts, why birds sing is not clear. And so this is where I'm going to focus a little bit on the European starlings, and hopefully you'll gain some appreciation for them. But they are famous, right? They're famous for forming these large murmurations, these huge flocks. During the breeding season, they are in pairs, in breeding pairs. But outside the breeding season, they become really socially tolerant. They're highly gregarious. They start to like other birds, and they form these flocks. And while they're in these flocks, they sing. They sing and they sing and they sing. And this is in fall and winter months. You don't see this during the spring breeding season. So fall and winter, huge flocks, and they're singing. And it's really not clear why they're singing. So it's known that they don't sing much if they're alone, probably because that makes them vulnerable to predators. So they have to be surrounded by flock mates. If a predator shows up, they stop singing. So we know this song, it's important that you've got a low stress environment. A stressor makes them stop singing. And when they're singing, they often are not even looking at each other. So here's a bird singing right here. The other birds aren't even paying attention to the other birds. So it doesn't seem to be responded to, at least immediately, by other birds. They might be listening, but they don't seem to respond. It doesn't attract a mate. It doesn't repel an intruder. In an immediate sense, it doesn't seem functional. Like, it is probably important for them to practice their song, but in immediate sense, nothing's happening. They're just singing. So there are very few behaviors that animals perform at high levels for no apparent reason. But one exception to that is playful behaviors, okay? So playful behavior, this is a definition from a textbook. Play is a repeated, seemingly non-functional behavior that differs from more adaptive versions structurally, contextually, or developmentally. And I would say that singing in a large fall flock, it is a repeated, seemingly non-functional behavior, and they seem to be doing it for no reason. So is it possible that song in these flocks of starlings and other overwintering flocks, could it be a form of play behavior? So why do we play? Why do animals play? We would say you play because it's fun, and fun is nearly, you know, synonymous with it feels good, right? So could birds in this context sing because it's a form of play behavior? All right, so to put this into context, it is estimated that of the 10,000 bird species on the planet, only 1% play. And yet there are famous examples of play behavior. So ducks have been found to repeatedly go over waterfalls, and some of you may even have seen this. They'll go over a waterfall, they'll walk back up to get back in the water, go down the waterfall. There are examples of swans swimming. Here we have kea parrots. They are playing. They are considered to be the most playful bird in the world. They live in New Zealand in the mountains, and if you park your car, they will destroy your car. They're not trying to be destructive, but they're so playful and so curious. They might destroy your boots. They'll steal your camera. They play with each other. They'll play with the snow. Like, they're amazing. Here we have a bird of prey. This is a kite that is dropping, in this case, he's dropping a tennis ball, dropping the tennis ball, picking it up, flying up, dropping the tennis ball. And birds of prey, more typically, you would see bone fragments. They'd be dropping a bone fragment and repeatedly catching it, right? So it's an important behavior. It teaches them hunting skills, but in immediate sense, it has no function. Here we have a crow sledding, and then we have a magpie playing with a dog. All right, so there are these famous examples of play, and yet only 1% of the birds of the world are thought to play. However, it is possible, or could it be, that when they're singing in flocks, songbirds are learning their song. Could that be a form of play behavior that would be exhibited by almost half the birds on the planet? All right. So how do you know if behavior is play behavior? It can be difficult to know. So I'm showing you here two dogs playing. This is a puppy playing with an adult. And if we look at this puppy playing, if you're familiar with dog behavior at all, you would recognize this as play. Now, if you were a child or not familiar with dogs, you might say, oh my gosh, they're fighting, right? Because it's hard to know, is that puppy fighting or is he playing? Could he be trying to mate with the adult dog? You don't know. And so we can tell it's play, but it's hard to know the difference. And so Gordon Burkhardt, he's written the textbook on play behavior, and he said for behavior to be play, it has to meet these five criterion. And one of the things you notice right here is this behavior is kind of sloppy. It's something you wouldn't see in a serious aggressive context or a mating context. It's sloppy, it's not rigid, it's not fully functional. Okay, so I'm not gonna read through this list, we're just gonna march through it step by step as I provide some evidence that suggests that Song in Phlox does meet these criteria. So first, I've already said that Song in Phlox plays no immediate function. Birds don't attract a mate. They don't repel an intruder. We also see that Song in Phlox is initiated when free from stress because they stop singing if a predator shows up. All right, so what about these other criteria? Let's look at these two. Modified from other contexts, so modified from the reproductive context, and is it not fully functional, and is it performed repeatedly but not rigidly, so is it sloppy? So studies in songbirds suggest that each of these criteria is met. This is an example from starlings, and it's something you would see in other birds that sing in spring and fall. What you typically see in spring, song is longer in starlings, it's shorter in the fall non-breeding season when they're in flocks. And females, remember, they prefer to mate with males that sing long songs, and males don't mess with males singing long songs. So by adjusting the song structure, you actually might promote cohesion in the flock. They may be more willing to hang out because there's no aggression, there's no fighting over mates or defending territories. If you look at song stereotypy, so song stereotypy is how well the bird reproduces its song again and again and again. And spring, during the mating context, this is when females prefer males singing high, complex, repeated song. Males have very stereotyped song. They repeat song the same way again and again and again. Song elements are in the same order each time. And in fall, they get a little sloppy.